Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen. Well, tonight, if you have taken notes, I want you to go ahead and write this title down. But I've titled my message tonight, Exposing the Devil's Playbook. You know, in sports, everyone has a playbook. If I got any sports players out there, you'll know where I'm going with this. When you play sports or you coach sports, there's a playbook. And what that is, it's strategies. And you come together and you're thinking of strategies that you could do for your team, for your players. You think of strategies and plans that you're going to put together for that team. I remember one year, my brother and I were coaching a soccer team, and we were just overreacted coaches. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like coaches, their parents are like, well, you guys need to calm down, right? This isn't club soccer. This is like AYSO soccer. And we were coaching, and I had this big playbook and all this strategy, and I had the players looking at it, and these were just little kids. They're looking at me like, yo, what are you saying? And I'm like, here's what you're gonna do. When the guy gets this ball, and the center midfielder is gonna control the whole field, he's gonna cross it to the right fielder and the left fielder, and they're gonna cross it, and the center midfielder and the center forward is gonna head it in or score a goal. And they're looking at me like, what? Even in the business world, you have a strategy. In the business world, your strategy is, how are you gonna get your business to be prosperous? How are you gonna have a strategy behind you to help build your business? How are you gonna take care of your employees later on? How much are you gonna pay your employees later on? How are you gonna deal with the attitudes of employees later on? And how are you gonna deal with certain situations that come up in your business later on? Those are called playbooks and strategies, even in the church world. In the church world, when I think about strategies and I think of a playbook, I think about what we do with discipleship, our goal. We get people saved, right? They come in, they raise their hand, they get drawn to the altar, they give their heart to Jesus, and then we have a strategy for them. What is the strategy? Get them connected with a friend so they can learn and grow in the things of God. And we always say something too as well. If you ever notice this, we say, give us 1 year of your life and watch how God will make something different in your life. So there's a strategy behind it. But don't you know something, that if we have a strategy, and there's a strategies in God's house, there's a strategy in business world, there's strategies in sports worlds, and there's playbooks. Don't you know that the enemy has a playbook against you? I mean, if we look at the scripture and we go all the way back to the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, there was actually a strategy to take out Adam and Eve. And what was the strategy and what was the thing that was played there? Here's what it was. Did God really say? And then looking at Job chapter 1, Satan twists Job's motives and accuses Job before God and suggests that God only worships because of the blessing. And if you go to Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempts Jesus in a major way. And when he tempts Jesus, what does he say? If you are the Son of God. So all the way from the beginning, to even to the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 12, chapters 12 through 20, if you ever read it, Satan deceives nations. So the strategy of the enemy is nothing new. What is the strategy of the enemy? Deception. What is the strategy of the enemy? Twist the truth. What is the strategy of the enemy to take you and pull you away from God and pull you away from your faith? To pull you into a place where you feel all alone and you feel discouraged and you feel like there's no one around you, but yet God is there and he never leaves you nor he forsakes you, the word of God says. Right. Yeah. So if we don't pay attention to the strategies, how are we going to know how to come against the strategy? If you don't pay attention to the play that's going on in the field, how are you going to combat that play, or how you can be the offensive defense and run that play? And so, church, I want you to hear something, and I want you to get this. There is a strategy to take the church out. There is a plan to take the people of God out. I wish I could tell you there wasn't a plan. I wish I could say, you know what? There's no plan for that. Everybody loves Christians. Everybody loves it. People go to church. I mean, when was the last time you told somebody you went to church who wasn't a believer? And they're like, you go to church? Praise God. Hallelujah. They don't. They go, why do you go to that place? You know, the church hurts me. The church batters me. The church says things. The church. No. That's people. That's not the church. That's an individual who was hurt by an individual in the church because they didn't pay attention to the strategy and the plan of the enemy. So what did they do? They allow that to affect their life. They allow that to pull them away from the things of God instead of to the things of God. And so after so much time of doing that, guess what? You find yourself falling out of your faith and you find yourself going the wrong direction in life. And so tonight, if you can go with me to John chapter 8, verse 44, it'll be up there on the overhead. But I want to read a verse to you. It says, "For you are children," say you, "are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of what?" Satan's number one tactic is this. Write this down. It's deception. It's twisting the truth. It's planting doubt. It's accusing. It's confusing. And it's destroying your identity. If he can get you confused, if he can get you to feel like you're being accused, if he can get you to be trapped in an identity, then here's the thing, he's won. Because here's why, when you believe you're somebody that you're not, you become that person that you shouldn't be. And here's another thing, when you get offended and you get hurt by somebody so bad because of an accusation or they accused you or you just didn't see the plan of the enemy trying to take you out and you took that offense, guess what happens? You then pull yourself away from people of God. I mean, church, this is a message I need you to get and I need you to understand it because I'm not going to pull and play games tonight because we see this happen too much in our world, even here in the churches. I've talked to so many friends that are pastoring churches and they say these things. They say, "I wish offenses didn't come because the more offenses come, the more my people leave." Come on, somebody. Can I be real with you tonight? You don't need to leave just because you get offended. Here's what you do. When you get offended, you take it to God. Because if you don't take it to God, here's what you do. You take it to everybody else. And when you take it to everybody else, guess what you do? It spreads. Think of it like this. It's kind of like this. Think of this. Picture this. A white tablecloth, super nice white tablecloth. A red piece of dye. If you dropped a red piece of dye on a white tablecloth, what is it going to do? It's not going to stay in one place. It's going to spread. Sometimes when people will come in and you get offended like that, guess what? And you tell other people about it and don't go to God and don't talk to somebody you're accountable to, and all of a sudden you spread throughout everyone. And you cause division. Not just amongst yourself, but amongst the body. And God doesn't want that. And I believe this, we need to be awake and we need to prepare. Be prepared for the enemy's playbook. And the only way we can do that is this, exposing it before it tries to get you. So my question to you is this. How do we expose the enemy's playbook? If you're taking notes, write that down. How do we expose the enemy's playbook? Because I want you to go home tonight. I want you to think about this message, and I want you to write these things down. I say it because I want you to get this, because it's important that you get it. Here's the first one is this. The devil's loud, but God's more clear. I don't know about you guys. Have you ever been in a situation where the devil's been loud in your head? No, we're all Christians in here, Pastor. I don't want to say that. Come on, can we be honest tonight? How many of you have been in a place in your life, just wave at me, where you're just thinking about nothing, and all of a sudden the devil just drops a little thought in your head, and it begins to twist your mind, and it begins to become really loud. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But how many know this, that God's word is much louder than the devil's word? I mean, there's been times where I'm driving down the road, and I'm having a great day. I'm listening to worship music, and I'm like, just got the presence of God, reading my word, and I'm just driving down the street, and all of a sudden, the enemy will drop a little thing, a little thought in my mind, and all of a sudden, I'll take that thought, because I don't flush it out, I'll take that thought, and I'll play around with that thought, and now it becomes super loud in my head. And then I'll live throughout my day, the rest of the day, trying to figure out, why am I listening to that? Why did I believe that? That's a lie from the enemy. Here's why. We don't recognize where it comes all the time. And that's why we got to start recognizing and discerning God's voice and others' voice. Because not every voice that you're around is God's voice. Can I be honest with you? There are people who are close to you. There are Christians who you know. There are people who speak into your life. But not every person that speaks in your life and not every person that's close to you is really telling you God's word. And that's where we have to discern whether it's God or whether it's man. Because the devil's loud. Oh man, is he loud. And he'll shout things in your head like this. You'll always be broke. You'll never have a job that you wanted. You'll always be a failure. You'll always be insecure. You'll always live in anger. You'll never have a husband. You'll never have a wife. You'll never be anything. How many know that he will put things and thoughts in your head like that? If that's ever happened, just wave at me right now. Just wave all over this room. We see that, right? Those are real things that the enemy will plant in our head, but we got to turn those things around. And where he tries to speak doubt, we got to speak life. Where he tries to plant fear, we got to plant faith. Because we can't live a life of living in fear, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. The word of God says, like in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, if we live our life in fear, we'll surround ourselves in fear. We got to step out of that area of our life and say, you know what? This might have scared me. This might have put a little fear in me, but I'm not going to allow it to hold me. Instead, I'm going to say, can you pray for me? Break that off of me. Can we speak about this? Can we talk about this? Because I don't want to live in this fear anymore. Instead, I want to bring that accusation to the enemy and say, I'm not going there. Instead, I'm going to God's word. I'm going to his faith. The enemy can be as loud as he wants in your face. He could be as loud as he wants in your head. He could put so much fear, so much doubt in you. But you got to remember something. God's voice is clear. There's no static in God's voice. And a lot of times when the enemy will speak to you or try to drop things into you, there's static behind it because it don't make sense. It's kind of like if you're on a cell phone and all of a sudden you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. And then all of a sudden, shh, 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 it drops. You have no more signal anymore. Here's why. You lost your signal. And if you listen to the enemy long enough, your signal won't be lost because it'll continue to feed off of his and you'll feed off of that and you'll pull yourself away from God. But if you say, I'm not going to listen to that signal and I'm going to listen to what you say, God, and only what you say and hear what he says, all of a sudden that signal breaks and now you get connected to God's. Matter of fact, I love what it says in John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep, that means us. Those who follow Jesus, listen to my voice and know them, and they what? Follow me. In other words, when you know the voice of God, you hear the voice of God, what do? You follow him. If you know the voice of God, and you hear the voice of God, and you listen to the voice of God, and you follow him, you just set yourself up for a successful thing. But if you know the voice of God, you hear the voice of God, and you don't listen to the voice of God, guess what you just did? You allowed the enemy to pull you away from moving into where God wanted you to be. And that could have been a blessing for your life. That could have been something you never had in your life. That could have been a healing you were believing for. That could have been a marriage you were believing to be healed. That could have been a wayward child that you were believing that God would bring home. Because sometimes when God drops one little thing in our life and one little thing in our heart, guess what? That can change our whole plan for the rest of our life. You mean it doesn't have to be sentences and paragraphs? No, it could be one little word. One little word. And that word would change your life forever. So imagine this, God drops that one little word in you, but you allow the enemy to steal from you. Guess what? You missed what God wants. And that's not to say that you messed up so bad you won't have another opportunity, that God's grace won't come in. Yes, absolutely. But here's the thing, I want you to understand something. When you do get it and hear it, do what God says. Don't allow yourself to be like, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, that doesn't fit my schedule, God. Your plan's better than God's? Wait, you think your schedule is more full than God's? I mean, you're taking care of you and a few other people. He's taking care of all of us. And he makes time for us. Guess what, church? We got to make time for him. We got to make time to go into his presence. Not just a Sunday, Wednesday thing. We need to make it an everyday thing. There's a man trying to call his daughter on a cell phone. But the line was full of static. He was trying to get a hold of her to talk to her about something very important. And as he's trying to get a hold of her, he was nothing but like shh, shh, static. And it was just causing a lot of issues and a lot of problems. And he couldn't hear his daughter clearly. But then all of a sudden, he remembered something. He remembered he could either reboot his phone or try to find a better connection or see if the Wi-Fi is weak. And all of a sudden, what he did, he connects to the Wi-Fi and makes the phone call. The minute he gets on the Wi-Fi and makes the phone call, guess what happens? His static went away and the connection came back. Life's that way sometimes, church. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. The enemy shouts lies and confusion like static trying to drown us out of God's voice. But if we stop and tune in through prayer and scripture and potentially and patiently listen to God's truth, guess what? It breaks through clearly. So, Pastor, how do I get through all these things in my life? How do I get through the static? How do I get through the negative thoughts? How do I get through the things that the enemy is lying to me? How do I get through the accusations? Here's how. You get on your face before God. Pray and get a word from God. Get in the scripture. Talk to God. Ask God to give you direction. Ask God to show you things. Listen, I couldn't do the things I do in my life if God didn't give me direction. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a mess at times. I don't know about you, but sometimes people are like, why don't you smile? It's just my face. Like, I don't have the happiest face, right? Like, I have a serious face. But when you get to know me, you're like, oh man, that guy's awesome. I love him. It's funny because they're always like, maybe you should get Botox. I'm like, no. Y'all, I don't live in Orange County. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're like, yeah, you should just get it right here. Right here, it'll just fix that frown. I'm like, no, I like my frown. Like, leave my 11s alone. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even really call them. Listen, no matter how loud the noise is, his voice is the only voice you need to hear. I'll say it again. No matter how loud the noise is around you, his voice is the only voice that you need to hear. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. So when life feels noisy and confusing, because it does at times, right? Anybody agree? Maybe you're sitting here tonight like, I'm confused. This is noisy to me, like, I don't know. Remember to pause and intentionally tune into God. His voice is the voice you need to hear. Don't let the enemy have room in your room anymore. Don't let him. To do this, set aside time to pray. I love the verse in Psalms 46, 16. I'll paraphrase it. It says, be still and know that I am who? God. I love that verse because there's times in my life where I'm just chaotic and things are going crazy. And I have to remind myself, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes in the busyness of life, I got to sit there and I got to remember, just go sit down somewhere, be still and know that he is God. When I got doubts coming to my mind, listen, guys, I got doubts in my mind. When I got fears in my mind, I got fears that come at me. When I got things coming in my way, I have to realize something. Sometimes people that work with me, like, why do you always go walk and sit back there? Because I'm sitting, I'm being still, and I want to know God. And sometimes we just got to take time to do that. In the busyness of life, sometimes we got to come to the altar and just sit and say, God, speak to me. Oh, and by the way, God, I'm not going to get up until you do. I'm not going to move out of this spot, God, until you speak to me. Now, you might be sitting at this altar, and our maintenance team might come by, and they might say, hey, man, church is closing. You got to go. Or you're going to say, nope, I'm not moving until God does. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But my point is this. Be still and know God. Sit into a place. I know the staff is thinking, somebody better go home. Someone might get a phone call. But my point is this, guys. Listen, church, is this. Be still and know that he's God. Take the time to get away from the busyness and sit in his presence. Take the time to get away from your crazy thoughts, come on, and sit in his presence. Take the time. We take time for everything else in our life. Come on, can I be honest? We take time for everything else, right? We take time to go to movies. We watch 3-hour movies. Some of us watch even 4-hour movies and they just sit there over and over. I'm like, no, I can't do that. But we watch these things. We take the time to do what we enjoy to do. Let's make God's presence what we enjoy to do. Take the time to get into it. Which leads me to my next point is this. The attack is personal. Because your calling is powerful. Let me say it again. The attack is personal because your calling is, someone say powerful. Come on, someone say powerful. Powerful. Pastor, why do I always get attacked when I get close to God? Because you're doing something for God. Church, I wish I could tell you, and I'm sure anyone in here wish they could tell you this. When you give your heart and life to Jesus, when you become a Christian, and when you live for God, everything is so easy. But I'd be a false teacher. I'd be lying right to your face. Because here's what I've realized and noticed. When you give your heart to Jesus and your life to God, and you follow God and the plan and purpose for his life, everything comes hard. The attack is no fun. The things that you come against, no fun. But there's a reward at the end, come on. There's a big reward at the end. But are you willing to stand the fight, willing to stand the attack to receive the reward that God has, or are you gonna cower down and not take it because you want an easier way out? Come on, church, gotta be real. This isn't a secret anymore, it's been out. We've announced it, Pastor Dan knows about it, so this is not a secret anymore, but here's the thing. When I said yes to an assignment that God assigned me to, and my wife, I could tell you, 2 years ago, after saying yes, nothing but demonic attacks came at us. Yeah. Pastor, what do you talk about? Let me just get into a little bit of detail and give you a little runaround. Never had many problems in my life with health and certain things. Matter of fact, I was always working out. I was always in the gym. I was always just enjoyed it, had a good time with it, just feeling great, doing good things. Yeah, there's some dieting issues I could have done. We all can. Don't look at me like that. You guys know what I'm talking about. But there is. But the attacks that came with saying yes to the call have been a whole nother level. Now, I'm not saying this up here to toot my horn and say, look what we're doing. Please don't see it like that. Don't receive it. I'm trying to get something across to you that when you're called by God there's an attack, listen, there's a powerful thing that's coming. See, I kind of worried about Christians who never get attacked. Because what I think is this, if you're a Christian and you're not getting attacked, what are you really doing for God? Like you're just going to church and you're not getting attacked? Like, what are you doing? You're saying, Pastor, am I supposed to get attacked? Well, if you're doing things for God, let me just say it like this, if you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness, you will get attacked. See, when God calls you, write this down if you're taking notes. When God calls you, the enemy targets you. And so saying yes to a call that God placed in our lives, in our heart, through our lead pastors, here's the thing. Saying yes to a call, let me explain something to you. It's been a rough time. It was autoimmune disease out of nowhere. There was times I couldn't get up and walk, and I had to come in here and preach on a Wednesday night for the youth. It was times where my body was hurting so bad, I couldn't move much. It was times where my wife was like, why are you walking so funny? There was times that came at us that were no fun at all. And there was times that I wanted to roll over and say, God, I quit. But I knew something in my spirit. I said, devil, I don't quit. I stand for God. I'll do whatever it takes to do it. Oh, so then guess what? During that time, everything is going a little bit better for me. Things are getting better. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and I'm not putting anyone on blast. My wife knows. She shared this with the women's ministry. She would give me permission to share it, because if she didn't, I would not share with you, because I love her and respect her enough. But here's the deal. She gets hit mentally out of nowhere. Yeah. One day wakes up and thinks she's the ugliest thing on the planet. Where is this coming from? To the point where the mental part of the mind, it was so bad, I don't know how to deal with that. I've never walked through that. Like, I've had depression a little bit in my life, and I don't think anything small of that. That's a big thing. But this level of attack that came was a whole different level. And we had to get her a therapist. She had to walk through some therapy, lots of prayer. Like, we had to reconnect with certain things. I had to get her, like, read your word. Our daughter-in-law was so gracious. She put scriptures up all over the house so she could read them every day and see what God says about her, because this is where we were at. And this is what the cost was of saying yes. I was just thinking the other day, I was talking to my wife, because God's brought us through a lot of this. And she says to me, babe, we're not even down there yet. Still want to go? Absolutely. Why do I say that? Here's why. When you step into the call that God has for your life, can I be real with you, church? When you step into the call, guess what? And you're being a threat to the kingdom of darkness, guess what? You will become a target for the enemy. Yeah. But I want you to understand something. He has nothing on you at all. All the victory is in Christ Jesus. I mean, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says it like this. And Paul reminds us of it. He says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the what? Unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world. And against evil what? Spirits in the heavenly places." Paul reminds us that the battles we face, especially the personal ones, aren't just physical or emotional. They're spiritual. The enemy isn't just after your peace or your comfort. He's after your calling. He's not just after your peace or your comfort. He's after what God has called you to do. Because if he can stop the plan of God in your life, then guess what? He's now put you in a place to defeat you. But if he can't stop the plan of God and the call of God in your life, guess what? You are now a threat to him. And when you walk into the calling of God, God's going to use you powerfully. The attack may be personal, but your victory is spiritual. James chapter 4, verse 7 says it like this. So humble yourself before God. Resist. Everybody say resist. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Church, listen, we need to understand this. The source of the attack, we need to understand this. Stop reacting emotionally and start resisting spiritually with authority. Clarity and power. God's given us all these tools. The reason why the church doesn't react in the way and the authority that God has given them is they're not operating in these tools. They're not operating in these gifts. Instead, we're operating in somebody to tell us what to do and go do what they say. Go do what God's telling you to do and find out what the word is asking of you to do. Well, Pastor, I don't get it. I just don't understand. It's kind of hard to live for Jesus. Yeah, it is very hard. Especially when that person cuts you off in the freeway, you want to flip them off, can I be honest? But then you realize something. Oh, shoot, I was just sitting next to them in church. Or you're at the grocery store and you're ready to react in the line because they're taking forever at Costco. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden they're like, hi, Pastor Donnie. It's not easy. I mean, some of you will walk out of here tonight and be in that same situation, or some of you be in that situation at work tomorrow where you're trying to be the best Christian that you could be and be the light of the world because God called us to be the light, but yet darkness is all around you and that darkness is trying to put out the light. But what you recognize and want you to see something here is dark isn't brighter than light. Light outdoes dark. Which leads me to my last point tonight is this. And this is a big one. I need you to get it. I believe this. If you can get this point, church, listen, I believe this. If we could all get this point, but not just hear it, but get it. If you know what I mean, like get it in here, but then walk it out, operate in it. I believe it'll change your life. The last one is this. You got authority, now use it. Several years ago, my wife and I, for some reason, people ask us to do deliverances. And I don't understand why, but God allows us to operate in this gifting. And several years ago, we were invited to a house that we knew somebody who lived at, and they had somebody living there, and they had asked us, they said, you know, some things are happening in our house. And the first thing I thought is, they always call the pastors, can you come pray for our house? No, you have the same authority I do. You pray for your house. But something inside of me said, go to this house and go pray with them. And so several years ago, my wife and I, we go into this house. Now, the person that's living there knows God, has a relationship with God, but I'm not going to say he's a full-on, like, 100% church-going person, but he's one of those people that are, like, lukewarm, knows the word, goes to church when he feels like it, here and there, this and that, you know, whenever things are good. But here's the thing. We get there, and there was another person there who was living there, who knew nothing about God, had no relationship with God, and didn't understand what we were doing there. And so we get there, and we begin to, on the way we're praying and we're talking about it, and we get there, and we begin to walk into the house. And as I walk into the house, I just feel like ugliness. My wife is like, yeah, there's something, this is weird. Like, we're just in a place of like, this doesn't feel right. Why is so-and-so living here? Like, they shouldn't even be here. But then what happened was this, the non-believer was sitting on the couch, and they're looking at us like, okay, like, what are these guys gonna do? Like, what is this? And I just began to walk around downstairs and just like praying, like, okay, God, like, show us what you want us to do. Like, God, lead us in that direction. Like, what is it, God? Why did we come here? You told me to. So now that we're here, what do you want us to do? My wife said, the Lord said this, grab your wife's hand and walk upstairs. I thought, what? Now, how many know sometimes that God will say things to you that's kind of like, what? Anybody ever experienced that before? You're like, what? Go hit that person? No, I'm just kidding. Lay hands on that person extra hard? No. Hold them down the water longer? No, he's not saying that. But he says this, grab her hand and walk upstairs. I grab my wife's hand, and we begin to walk up these stairs. And all of a sudden, right out the front door. Now, here's the thing. We recognize what it is. The other person there didn't recognize what it was, but the other non-believer there says this, what was that smell? It was an authority God gave us. We walked into a house, held her hand, walked upstairs, and then we didn't even begin to pray. We just walked up because of the authority that God gives you as a believer. They have to tremble when God's in the presence, and we walked up, and that demonic thing went right out the door and never came back to that house. Yeah. Had to turn around to that person sitting there and said, that's God. Yeah. That was what you just experienced, the authority that's given to believers. Now, I don't know if that person ever got saved, but here's what I do know. There was a seed planted. Because I don't know about you, man, but if there was something that smelled that bad that left, you're going to be wondering, what in the world was that? That was not a natural thing. It was a supernatural move of God. And that's the authority that we carry as believers. The Bible says you could lay hands on the sick and they'll what? Recover. Jesus gave us the same authority. But as a church and as believers, here's the thing. We don't use that authority that God's given to us. Here's why. Because we haven't stepped into the authority that God's given to us. Because as we get ready to step in, we allow the distraction or we allow confusion from the enemy pull us away from it. Think about this for a moment. Wouldn't you think that the enemy would try to stop you from moving into those things of God? I mean, don't you think if you had a friend who was sick, dying of cancer, and God said, go lay hands on that person and pray for them and believe this, that they're going to be healed and they're going to recover, and then they're going to get saved. Come on. Yeah. Don't you think the enemy would do everything he can to distract you from doing that? And so what happens is, because we're not rooted and grounded enough, we begin to go that direction, and as soon as something hits us that's hard, and the enemy throws something at us, we run instead of going straight at it. But God gave us that authority. Matter of fact, I love the verse in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I love this verse. It says, behold, I give you authority, yell authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over what? All the power of who? The enemy. He's given us the authority, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means you could pray for them. That means you could cast them out. That means you could use God's given authority to use you in this area of your life. Here's why. Nothing will hurt you when you're a believer and you're a follower of Christ and you step into the authority that God has given you, that believer's authority. Yes. In which all believers carry and have. But here's what I challenge you to do. I challenge you to step into that authority. I challenge you to say, you know what, God? Your word says I can pray for the sick and they'll recover. I challenge you to have enough faith to believe that God's word is true and believe God's word is right and step into that and allow yourself to pray for that person and then watch But don't put it on you because it ain't you. It's on God. Because you could be very discouraged as a Christian to pray for somebody who's sick and they die. Maybe that was just God's time for them to go. So don't carry that, put that on you. Your thing is this, you pray for them and believe God, you do what it is that you're gonna do with their life. I heard it said like this once by a great man of God. He said this, you don't fight for victory, you fight from victory. You don't fight for victory, you fight what? From victory. Listen, church, you got the authority. We got to start walking in it. We got to start living this out. We can't just show up and expect others to do it for you. Can't just show up and expect others to pray for you when you should be praying for somebody. Not that we won't pray, we'll pray. But you can't just show up as a believer and not put what you believe into action. God's given you that authority. He's given you authority to break every mental stronghold in your mind. He's given you the authority to break every addiction in your life. He's given you authority to get out of depression, come on. He's given you authority to break anxiety, fear, worry, doubt. He's given you that authority. Here's the thing, start using that authority that God's given to you and break those things off of your life. So don't shrink back anymore, step up. Listen, church, the enemy doesn't get the last word, you do. You get the last word, not the enemy. He might think he can get the last word, but you do because you're using God's word against him. So whatever lie he's been telling you, whatever fear he's been putting in you, whatever insecurity he's been putting on you, here's the thing, you don't gotta listen to that. You can say, this devil, I'm not taking that, I'm not holding on to this. This doesn't belong to me, it belongs to you. I belong to God, and with God all things are possible, and I'm gonna do what it is that God tells me to do, and I'm gonna live the way God tells me to live. And I'm gonna walk in the authority that God tells me to walk in. Because here's why. I'm exposing. Come on. I'm exposing the devil's what? No. You didn't say it like you mean it. I'm exposing the devil's what? No. Let's try this one more time, guys. I'm exposing the devil's what? So my question to you is this tonight, and I challenge you with this as I begin to close it, and I want you to hear me, and I want you to get this. Are you ready to expose his playbook? Are you ready to stop believing the lies that he's been speaking to you? Are you ready to stop living in fear? Are you ready to start to break anxiety? Are you ready to start breaking depression? You know what, right now, if you're dealing with depression, stand to your feet. If you're dealing with anxiety, stand to your feet. If you got fear in your life, stand to your feet right now, all over this place, because we're exposing the enemy's playbook. And if that's you tonight, I want you to stand to your feet, because we're gonna pray. And as a church, we're gonna break these things off of you, because here's why. We're not assigned to carry these things anymore. We're called to live in God's freedom. We're free in God, and we're called to live in his freedom that he has for us. So if you're in this place and that's you, stand to your feet. And we're just gonna pray over you guys to stretch our hands out. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as all those, God, that are in this room, God, that are standing to their feet, Lord, as we expose the enemy's plan tonight, God, and expose his playbook tonight, Father, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against fear. I come against doubt. I come against anxiety. I break off depression. I break off mental thoughts, God. I break off suicide, God. I break off unbelief, God. I break these things off now in the name of Jesus. Father, we will no longer be bound to the things of the enemy, but God, we will be free in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Tonight, as we expose the enemy's plan, we said the devil was loud, but God is more clear. The attack is personal because your calling is powerful. And you have authority. Now use it. Tonight I have a closing declaration that I want to put up on the screen. If they got this tonight, just put it up there. And I want everybody in the church on the count of three to say this with me. Because here's what we're doing. We're speaking a declaration over our life tonight. And we're going to reject the lie of the enemy. So when I count to three, I want you guys, everyone in here, to say this with me. One, and say it like you mean it. Two, three. I reject the lie. I receive the truth. I am who God says I am. And the devil has no hold on me. Come on, give it up for Jesus tonight. With that, I hope you guys enjoyed service tonight. I just want a few more moments of your time because here's what I believe. I believe this is one of the most important parts in the service here. Pastor, what is it? Here's what it is. It's the big decision that you're going to be making in your life. See, one day we're all going to die, but one day we're not going to know whether we're going to go to heaven or whether we're going to go to hell. I mean, we could get up out of this room tonight. Every one of us could walk out of this room tonight and an earthquake can hit Southern California like we've been feeling lately. And a big, massive earthquake can hit us. And we can end up standing before Jesus. And we can end up not making it into heaven or making it into heaven. You can get up out of your chair tonight, get in your car and leave this place. And we don't pray this or wish this over anybody, but how many know life happens and things happen? You could walk out of here, get in your car tonight, go down the street, and bam, get in a car accident and end up losing your life tonight. But my question to you is this, and I want to ask everybody all over this room is this question tonight. If tonight was your last night here on earth, you got up in your seat, you walked out, you got hit by a car, or you got in a car accident, or you, there was a tragedy where you went after church, something took place, and it was your last day, your last night here on earth. Would you wake up in the kingdom of heaven or would you wake up in hell? Ask yourself that question. You might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Great. I'm glad you go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Listen, continue to come to church because it's going to build you up. But just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor Dottie, I'm a good person and I do good things. I give to charities, I give my offering, I give extra and beyond what I could even give, but I do good things. Great, I'm glad you're doing good things. But being good doesn't get you into heaven. Matter of fact, there will be a lot of good people who stand before God and don't make it into heaven. Word of God says, your good works are like filthy rags to me. You might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, I was told like because I was born and raised in church, I'm a Christian. No. Listen, that's bad. No one can tell you you're going to go to heaven. It's this choice and decision you have to make. You have to come into a place in your heart and your life to say, you know what? I believe in God. I want a relationship with Jesus. So tonight, I'm going to ask you one of the most important questions that you will ever be asked in your life is this: do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you want to walk out of here knowing tonight that if you got in a car accident or if an earthquake hit Southern California or if you got in a tragedy took place, do you want to know that when you stood before God tonight, you would hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, I never knew who you were. Going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays doesn't make you a Christian or allow you even in. Being a good person doesn't. Wearing a shirt with Jesus scriptures on it doesn't get you into heaven. None of those things. The only thing that gets you into heaven is this. You come into a place having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You coming to a place to say, you know what? I surrender my life. I surrender my heart. I surrender my will. God, I want to live for you. I want to be in relationship. And I want to give my life and my heart to you. Let me frame this two different ways. First one is this, you can come into church tonight, hear the word of God, get into the presence of God in worship, hear the good word of God, get into what God is doing, but walk out of here and your heart's stopping or you're getting in a car accident and dying, ending up in hell because you didn't respond to the call that God's putting on your life. Or let me frame it this way. You could be in here tonight, heard the worship, heard the message, got into the presence of God, felt something you haven't felt before. Hear the altar call. Hear the invitation. And you can say, I want to receive him as my Lord and personal Savior. And walk out of here tonight knowing that if you got in a car accident, knowing that if you died, knowing if something happened, and it was your last night, knowing this, that you would stand before heaven, before Jesus, and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't know about you guys, but it was frame 1 and 2. You pick which frame you want to be in tonight. But here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to make it simple for you tonight. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hand go bang like that, if you're in this place and you know that you wouldn't make it to heaven, all I want you to do is slip your hand up all over this place. All over this room. So all I want you to do is slip your hand up. If that's you tonight, maybe your heart's beating out of your chest right now and you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this. You can do it. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, why do I got to raise my hand? If I do, I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you, but here's the thing. If you can't raise your hand in front of other believers inside of a church, you'll never live for Jesus outside the walls. But if you can come into a place and say, you know what? I need Jesus in my life and in my heart, and raise your hand. The Bible says like this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I'm a man, there's others around here. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. So we can either sit there and say, God, I need you in my life and I want to give my heart to you. Or we can sit with our arms crossed, I don't need no Jesus. I'll do it when I'm ready. What, you got a personal date and time when Jesus is going to come for your life? I don't think so. The Bible says we don't know the hour nor the day, nor the season. He also says our life is like a vapor. We're here one moment and we are gone the next. You've heard it said over and over if you've been in the services all weekend. If not, I'll say it again. We just buried an 18-year-old, a 28-year-old, and an 88-year-old in a matter of a week. Your life is a vapor. It's here one moment and gone the next. And the thing that broke my heart, the saddest thing that breaks my heart is this. I was just talking to the 18-year-old a week before it even happened, how excited the person was about moving on and doing things that God's calling her to do in her life. And now she's no longer here. But here's what I do know. She's in heaven. Want to know why? Because she made a decision that some of you have to make as well. To say, God, here I am. So who should do this tonight if you've never done this before? Who else should do this tonight? If you're running from God instead of to God, who else should do this if you're living a lukewarm life? A little in, a little out, token prayer here and there, church attendance here and there. You weren't fully, full-heartedly sold out for God. Instead, you became that lukewarm person. And here's the thing. Lukewarm means this. You're not going to make it. Bible says, when I come back, it doesn't say if I come back. The word of God says this in Revelation chapter 3. When I come back, I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you can't be a little in, a little out. You got to be fully in for God. So if that's you tonight, you're living a lukewarm life, and you're saying, you know what, Pastor? That's me. I want to rededicate my life, and I want to get right with God. All over this place, when I count to three, if that's you, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand right where you're at. Here's why, so we can say a prayer with you. And we can invite Jesus into our heart. We can change our destination, because a lot of us are heading to hell and God's saying, I want to change your destination and change it towards heaven. 1, 2, 3, bang, anybody in this room. Thank you, put your hands up all over this place. Just pop them up for me if I can see them. Put them up, 1, 2, 3, 4. Anymore, 4 wise people. You're pointing somewhere, 5, 6. I got you, man. 6 wise people. Is there any more? They're going up. 7. I got you, bro, in the back. 7 wise people. Is there any more? Didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. Is there any more in this place? 7 wise people. I got you. 8. Got you. 8 wise people. Is there any more? I got you. 9 way back there. I got you. Is anyone on this side? Anyone in the family room? Help me out, ushers, if you see anyone. 9 wise people. Is there any more? If that's you, you're pointing somewhere. Oh, I got you. 10 right there. I got you, man. Is there any more? I got you. 11. Thank you. 11 wise people. Is there any more? God's drawing you in. That's who you are. Just pop your hand up. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. But 11 wise people. Is there any more tonight? Just pop your hand up all over. I got you, man. 12. anymore, just pop your hand up right now, right where you're at. Feeling that tug on your heart. That's you saying surrender. It's Holy Spirit saying, that's you. 12 wise people, is there any more? If that's you, just pop your hand up. I'm gonna give it a few more moments. I believe God is still speaking to you and moving in your heart. If there's any more, just pop your hand up right where you're at. I wanna make sure I didn't miss anybody. Anyone over there in that family room? Anybody over there? If you see anyone, just point them out. It's 12 wise people, is there any more? All right, well, let's give God a praise for 12 wise people tonight. Here's what I want to do is this, is I want everyone to stand to their feet with me. Come on, everybody can stand to their feet. All 12 of you tonight, and if there was more that said you want to make that decision and that choice to surrender your heart and your life, here's what I want to do, is I want to invite you to come forward because I want to meet you here at the front. So if that was you, come on forward, guys. Let's give them a hand as they come forward. Come on forward, come on. Come on, come on forward, guys. Come on, come on, church, give me a hand. Come on, guys. Come on, church. Come on, that's you. Come on forward. Come on, that's you. Come on forward. Come on. Guys, drawing them. Come on, guys. Come on. Keep going, church. They're coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on. Any more, just bring them forward. Come on. Say, come on, let's go. Come on, here they come. Come on, church, keep it going. Keep bringing it. Come on, keep bringing it. But look at you guys. Put a smile on your face, man. You're about to make the greatest decision in your life. God's got great things for you guys. Here's what I want to do is this, is now that we surrendered, we said, God, here I am. I want to receive you. What we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. And this prayer we're going to do is we're going to invite Jesus into our heart, into our life. And as we invite Jesus into our heart, into our life, listen, here's the thing. If you miss a word, don't think you're not going to get it because you miss a word. Don't allow that lie. Just keep saying it. Just keep going. Because it's what you believe in your heart. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say this prayer. And for all of you that said, come on, I'll wait for you guys. Come on. Come on, man. So we're going to say this prayer. And again, if you miss a word or two, don't beat yourself up. It's all good. Because we believe it in our heart. And so what I would like for you to do, and church is going to do it as well because we're all family now, is we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. All right? So repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I ask that you come inside of my heart. I make you Lord in life. Tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill me, touch me, empower me. Help me live my life the way God wants me to live. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Here's what we want to do for you guys is we have a great ministry here. But before I introduce you to this great man of God, I want to tell you something. Give us 1 year of your life. 1 year of your life. Just 1 year. And watch what God will do throughout that year and how God would change it. What do you mean by give us a year? Keep coming to church services. Listen, young guys, go to Raya. Young adults is Friday. Get plugged into young adults. Go to women's ministry. Go to the different things. We have so many different services going on here at church. There's no reason why we can't get into church. But here's the thing. If you can make that commitment for 1 year, your life will be transformed. All right? The next thing is this. Have a good friend over here. This is Pastor Joel. He's waving at you. He's a great man of God. We have a ministry here. It's a discipleship ministry. Faith-filled friend. is what we want to give you. Here's why. When you give your life and your heart to Jesus, even right now, man, the devil's probably telling you, what you did isn't real. What you did is wrong. You tell the devil, go back to hell where you belong. What I did is real. No more lies. Don't listen to the lies anymore. When they try to come up, don't listen. Because the lies that you'll hear will distract you from doing what God wants you to do. And God wants to give you a faith-filled friend, specifically wants to give you somebody that's gonna help you walk through things in your life. So don't let the enemy tell you you don't need that friend at the church. You got friends in the world, but you need that friend at the church. Because it's gonna help change you. God's got a plan for you. So why do we have that friend? We have that friend here to disciple you, to teach you basic things out of the Word of God, to help you become stronger, help you be the person that God has called you to be. Remember, faith-filled friend. Say it with me. Faith-filled friend. That's who you're going to connect with right over here, starting with Pastor Joel. So go ahead and follow him, and we'll give you a hand as you go. Isn't God good? Man, isn't God good just drawing people to the altar? I love it. Well, church, I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Blessed that I could be here and give the word tonight. So honored that you guys got something from God. Let me pronounce a blessing over you guys and have a great week. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word tonight, God. I pray, Lord God, that they would remember, God, your word, God, that they would expose the enemy's playbook, Lord. I pray tonight, God, you would bless them, God. Bless them in all they do, God. Bless them coming and bless them going, God. And everything, Lord, they put their hands to, God, they will prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.